Welcome back into the program. Wednesday, we are now midweek between week four and week five of college football season, and you know what that means. It's time to bring in the college football professor. We can get his take on the weekend that just passed, as well as we'll look ahead to some of what we might expect from a very entertaining-looking weekend in week five. Professor, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you, Jacob.
Well, let's start. Let's start looking back at last week. I know you have six interesting scores that you want to share with us.
Yes. First of all, Stanford beating Arizona State 42-28, and I think the game was a little bit even more one-sided than that. Think about the fact that Stanford comes off of a mediocre win over Army, which is not a very good team at all, 34-20. So it shows sometimes that a team, you looked at that Army-Stanford game, you wondered, is Stanford really one of the premier teams? But they showed it. Then LSU 35-21 over Auburn. Mississippi State over Troy 62-7 was a surprise to me. Missouri, I think, shows something in beating Indiana 45-28. And then Fresno State over Boise State 41-40. And I think USC's win 17-14 over Utah State was a surprise to me. And I think that's pretty good. But I also think there were some bad games, like the Florida 31-17. That was just a bad game.
There really were. You're right.
And then Maryland, what about Jacob? Maryland beating West Virginia 37-0.
That surprised me. That shocked me. I actually picked West Virginia to win. I don't know what has happened to the Mountaineers.
Right. And a couple things that are sad is just Jeff Driscoll going down with a season-ending injury. And I couple that with Malcolm Mitchell's earlier injury, keeping him out for Georgia. Those are two big losses for those teams.
They are, and I think that you're right. That could be a factor this weekend with Malcolm Mitchell. Well, I agree with all that you said there. I was certainly impressed with Stanford and LSU as well and their wins. Before we move on, how much do you think the Driscoll injury will affect Florida as they try to compete for the East?
I'm not sure, but I have a sense that it's going to hurt them significantly because their offense was struggling anyway. I just think this is a big loss for them.
Well, it'll be a little bit easier to do this week than it would have been last week, but give us the 10 best games of week five.
All right, first of all is LSU at Georgia. I think that's the headliner.
Sure.
Ole Miss at Alabama, Oklahoma at Notre Dame, and don't sleep on this one, South Carolina at the Central Florida. That's a pretty significant game there, and I think a lot of people might be looking over Central Florida, but they're very good. This is going to be a tough game in South Carolina. And then there's Wisconsin at Ohio State, Arizona at Washington. That's going to say a lot about the Pac-12. And then USC plays at this Arizona. And one of these two teams could be 0-2 in the Pac-12, and I think it would shove one of these two teams down the line. And then Texas A&M at Arkansas. That looks like it would be one-sided, but just don't overlook it. And then Virginia Tech on Thursday night at Georgia Tech. That's interesting.
It is.
And then, of course, Jacob Slippery Rock will host Mercyhurst. And, after winning big weeks 1 and 2, Slippery Rock lost a heartbreaker to Gannon in the year of Pennsylvania's past week. I'm sure they'll get Shamar Green back on target. He actually rushed for 118 yards on 15 carries. So that's my top 10 games.
Hey, what time is that Slippery Rock game? I want to make sure I set the DVR to tape that. Those are good games. Definitely week five. I'm looking forward to all of the matchups in week five, a lot better than week four. Let's move on now, and you're going to take a look at five games individually, and let's start with one in the Pac-12, and that is Arizona traveling to Washington and a Washington team that's resurgent this year. What do you see in this one?
Well, both teams are 3-0, but Arizona has not had to break a sweat in their first three games because they played Krispy Kreme opponents. But Washington has beaten Boise State 38-6. They've beaten Illinois 34-24. But it's still worth keeping an eye on. It looks like Washington will win the game, but I think we just better wait and see.
What about South Carolina at Central Florida? You mentioned a few minutes ago how this could be a danger game for the Gamecocks, and we've already seen this week Steve Spurrier has come out and said that he will have to suspend one of his most crucial players for this game, or one of his most crucial players will not be playing. And he wants his team to fix the mistakes that they've been making, and Jadeveon Clowney specifically. So what do you see in this game?
Well, I just think it, you know, South Carolina should win the game, but Central Florida is a very good football team. This is a very good team. And if they go in there like basical, they'll get beat. But I think South Carolina will win the game.
We look ahead at Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Of course, the Sooners would like nothing more than to roll into South Bend and get payback for last year's thrashing that they took in Norman. Do they get that payback, or does Notre Dame get them again?
I don't know. I'm not sold on Oklahoma yet. I'm certainly not sold on Notre Dame. Of course, Oklahoma, you know, they beat Law Monroe 34-0. Then they beat West Virginia. We just talked about them losing a walk-side game to Maryland. They only beat them 16-7. And they beat Tulsa 51-20. So they hadn't really been tested yet. But Maryland 28-6 over Temple. And then they lost, of course, to Michigan 30-41. And beat Purdue, which is not a very good team, 31-24, and they beat Michigan State by 17-13. Mm. So I don't think either one of these teams have shown much yet. So we could call this the full-blown mediocrity bowl.
A lot of people in Tuscaloosa and around the state of Alabama are concerned about what they saw Saturday from Alabama against the Rams of Colorado State. Looked very lethargic at times. And wondering about the defense. What do you see in this Alabama-Ole Miss game? It's very interesting. Ole Miss, of course, is getting a lot of hype this year. Are you buying into that hype? Do you think Alabama is going to steamroll them, or does Ole Miss have a chance to pull the upset?
Well, I think they're a good, very good football team. But keep in mind that in 2011, Alabama played Georgia Southern. And Georgia Southern outgained Alabama on the ground rushing. They had 302 yards. They averaged 7.74 yards per carry to Alabama's 5.5 in that game. And look what Alabama did. They went on and won the national championship. In 2012, last year, they played Western Kentucky in a very sluggish game. Now, they won the game 35-0. But in that game, they averaged 3.32 yards per carry. They had 103 yards rushing. They had a difficult time with Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to compare that, against Western Kentucky, they averaged 3.2 yards per carry. Against LSU, they averaged 6.6. Against Georgia, 13.46. And against Notre Dame, 5.8. So they doubled or tripled or quadrupled what Western Kentucky gave up. So how do you measure that?
Right.
But this game is going to be, they did struggle, and they need to get some things right. We think they will. But at the same time, you remember last year when they played Ole Miss, both Ole Miss and Alabama had the lowest yardage production for the year. So Ole Miss comes in, Bo Wallace, Jeff Scott, big receivers, you know, Moncrief and Treadwell and Ingram. They're all 6'3", 6'2", big receivers. But then Alabama, A.J. McCarron, T.J. Yeldon, Kevin Norwood, and a couple of others that we could name. So it's going to be quite an interesting game. I kind of think in this game that Alabama will intercept a couple passes during this game.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. Bo Wallace, of course, gets credit he deserves for being a fine quarterback. But Ole Miss is actually 57th in the nation in passing. They are tied with Alabama on the passing total overall passing. They're also 80th in completion percentage. That's not very good. And you know, obviously they have Moncrief and several other receivers, Scott, who can catch it out of the backfield on screens and so forth, but Ole Miss is not as good as you might think through the air. They're certainly not Texas A&M, so I think Alabama will have an easier task with Ole Miss than they did with the Aggies.
Yeah, I think Alabama will win the game, but I do think Ole Miss is a very good football team. They have good football players on the field. And it's going to be quite a, I think it'll be quite a game.
We're looking ahead now to LSU and Georgia. Of course, the game of the week. The Tigers coming off of a 35-21 win over Auburn. Impressive at home. Georgia, man, this is a murderous row for them. They had Clemson at the beginning of the year in Death Valley, and then South Carolina the next week. And now here they are playing another top 10 team in LSU in Athens. So how does this one go? Can Georgia get another big win?
Well, it's all right as we get into this game. I couldn't help but notice that Paul Dietzel, the legendary coach at LSU who coached them to the 1958 National Championship game when they went 11-0, that he passed away on his birthday, 89 years old. So I got to thinking about Paul Dietzel and how he, in 1958, was a very innovative coach. And if you might, some people who might look back in the record books, or some people might remember, he did something unusual. Back then, players played off both ways, offense and defense. So his first team was called the White Team, and they played both ways. But then he substituted the second team offense and the second team defense. And the way he did it, he didn't do it one, two, or three players at a time. He put a whole new team in. So he called the second team offense, they started out calling the gold, you know, their colors, white and gold. And but they got to be known as the GO team. So they ran a hurry-up offense and threw the ball all over and did all kind of trick stuff, and that's what they did when they went on the field. And his defense was called the Chinese Bandits, and they were quite good. So I just couldn't help but think about Paul Dietzel and how he did this unusual thing of substituting a whole team at a time.
You know,
looking at this game.
Yeah, before you get off, I was going to say comment on what you just said. You know, it's amazing how today a lot of coaches get lauded as innovators in the game, and sometimes we miss the innovators of old. And I think you could certainly say that Dietzel and the way he ran his defense was an innovative coach. I mean, that, in the history of college football, I can't point to another defense that had the same kind of system and operation where they brought out an entire new unit for certain situations.
Right, right. And it was just quite interesting. But, you know, LSU has won the last two meetings with Georgia. But before that, Georgia won three straight. And so I'm looking at the fact that for LSU, you know, Odell Beckham and James Landry, they're going to have a big day in offense. But LSU has a good defense. But Georgia has a better offense than does LSU. They got Todd Gurley and Aaron Murray, and they do miss Malcolm Mitchell, as we said. So when I look at the game, Georgia, I would give them a plus on the offense. But yet LSU has a good offense. I would give LSU the advantage on defense, and I'm wondering if Georgia's defense can match LSU's. So it looks to me like on paper that LSU would kind of get the nod in this game.
Well, I agree with you. And the factor, of course, outstanding is Athens, Georgia, and playing there in Athens and with all the Georgia fans. And how will Zach Mettenberger react to that kind of environment? But I agree with you. I think if you look at these two teams, LSU would be the team I would say is the better team. All right, your final statement as we look forward to Week 5 of college football.
Well, you know, Jacob, the question I ask is, could this be, begin to, you know, things begin to take shape after this week, establishing some front runners? I don't know. But, you know, after two or three weeks, we haven't seen a lot. But now we might begin to see some teams emerge. So it's going to be a great weekend, a lot better than last weekend, I might say.
It certainly will be. Well, college football professor, thanks as always for joining us on the middle of the week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday, and we'll have another weekend to look forward to, but we'll also get some thoughts on these epic matchups that are taking place this week. Thanks a lot.